The purpose behind the event is to recognize organizations, initiative volunteers that are doing some really special work in the community and may not necessarily be recognized, you know, at this point.
When you have a program like this, and so many people, so many volunteers that in so many different areas that have helped out the United Way and the programs and the like here, how do you organize such a program like this and the awards in particular?
Well, that's why we rely so heavily on the nominations from the organizations that are out there serving the public directly, you know, or perhaps the public themselves. We announced the second year probably within the last week or two, and right now we're accepting nominations through the 19th, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And there are some key awards both for organizations and for the individuals that are behind the work.
Okay. I know that there's a big concern that there really aren't a lot of opportunities that nonprofits and other related organizations have to be able to come together, and this is it sounds like it's a kind of a presentation, a program that you get to probably really the only time once of its kind that you get to do this site.
That's correct. I think a lot of organizations recognize their own, you know, the volunteers that they have for their own specific organization or program, but we're bringing about 100 nonprofits, faith-based organizations together in one place so that we can recognize all these individuals that are out in the community together helping people. And it's going to be at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts. We actually outgrew our facility last year. Mm-hmm. Last year was the first year. We had more than 100 people that attended. We outgrew that facility, so we're moving over to the center, so we can actually double our capacity if we need to.
Now, just as a point of reference, where have the Star Award program been held in the past?
We held it at the South Shore Convention and Visitors Authority, which is a great partner. Mm-hmm. I think that most nonprofits would agree. Spiro and his team are phenomenal to work with, and it was a perfect setting. We actually host a lot of our events there. It was a perfect setting for this, but we just have so many people that are interested in coming.
So you're talking about the facilities there at the Indiana Visitor Center.
Correct.
There in Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, the Welcome Center.
Okay. Obviously, you can't have a program like this without having local companies and other organizations, not only supporters financially, but other people that are doing their part to make this thing happen together. Tell us about the local companies and how they get to show their part in these Star Awards.
Are you talking about the funders, the sponsors?
Yeah, everybody that's involved, like the funders and all those people.
Sure.
Too. Sure, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we've got some key organizations that are supporting this, making it possible for us, of course, because everything that we do, we have to raise, you know, the support for. NIPSCO, ArcelorMittal, First Financial are the organizations that are providing the support for this. And, of course, you know, we have so many relationships with other organizations out in the community. Last year, Peace Baptist Church, Munster Church, Mental Health America, Salvation Army, the Northwest Indiana Veterans Action Council, Habitat for Humanity, Meals on Wheels, just to name a few.
Yeah.
And when you hear the stories about what some of their volunteers are being recognized for, it's really impressive. I don't know how these folks find time to do all that they do.
Now, looking ahead to the awards for this year, I'm sure there will probably be some surprises, so we can't really give away who is going to be honored, but are there some organizations that already know that they're getting awards, or some of their people are going to get awards?
Yeah, well, we're actually still receiving the nominations.
Oh, so you don't...
So it's
going to be a real surprise right down to the day of the event.
It absolutely will. You know, there's one new award that we have this year. Actually, it was an idea that Mike Schneider with First Financial Bank had. He had been working with an individual with disabilities. They were volunteering for the Humane Society with Mike, and he was so impressed. He suggested that we have a special award for those folks with special needs that are doing volunteering. And
that's
so
great.
We're launching that this year. It's called the Mega Star Award.
Wow.
And it'll go to an individual who has a disability or, you know, special needs, but they're out in the community, mm-hmm, serving others.
So, and to find out who, well, you just have to be involved in the award ceremony, come to the event and find out what's happening there, too. We're talking with Lisa Daugherty, who is the president and CEO of the Lake Area United Way. They're based in Highland and Griffith area. And besides this big event of the Star Awards coming up here in December, the United Way is busy with a lot of other projects. But I think most notably, and maybe many people are not aware of this, there's been a major change in how the United Way, and this is, I understand, not just local, it's nationwide. They've taken a turn to basically change the paradigm, shift the paradigm, literally, from how the United Way has been handling working with organizations and groups across the spectrum, all kinds of organizations and groups, to focusing more specifically on certain areas. Tell us about the change and what that means for the Lake Area United Way.
Sure. Let me just take a few seconds to remind everybody that may not recall, you know, part of the reason for the shift there is twofold. Mm-hmm. One, United Ways enjoyed a lot of exclusivity around fundraising in the past. They relied on United Way to help them understand the needs and make those decisions about where funding went. People are far more savvy now. We're not exclusive. So we have seen some declines in our campaign. So we've needed to diversify. The other primary reason behind it is that we weren't seeing community conditions change despite the investment in it. Mm-hmm. So our United Way, like many others, made a decision to focus in on a single issue that was affecting our county, individual county.
Right.
Now, we did a lot of research and landed ultimately on struggling working families. And there's a United Way acronym for that called ALICE. It stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. These are folks that are working hard, and in some cases, many cases, multiple jobs. Mm-hmm. But the cost of living is high here. And despite working hard, they're not able to afford the basic necessities. And we've got about 1 in 4 families right now in our county, in Lake County alone, that are struggling. Now, these are families above those. We've got about a 16-17% level of poverty in our county.
Right.
Another 25 that we consider ALICE, that are really struggling despite working hard.
And I'm sure these are people that obviously they have to rely on help from organizations and from governments too, I suppose. At that point, we're talking in this case of like the township trustees' offices and other related community service organizations that are governmental run. In addition to that, they still have to have extra help. What does the Lake Area United Way program have this year, working with ALICE, use this to talk about these folks that are most in need? What programs are set up now, and how are these programs doing?
Well, they're doing great. You know, we're actually still in our discovery, research phase. We just finished talking to about 100 ALICE families. We've convened employers so that we can talk about how some of the obstacles that ALICE families typically experience are impacting, work performance. Things like reliable transportation. We don't have a regional public transportation system here. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these families struggle. Owning a car is expensive. The insurance, the gas, childcare. A lot of these families are challenged with access to affordable, safe childcare. So all this is going to affect, employment ultimately, because if they don't have a reliable alternative, folks have to miss work. So we're still in a phase where we're really trying to understand how these obstacles are impacting families. And you mentioned the township. Mm-hmm. We are, for the first time in our work over the years, working with organizations in other sectors. So we're coming together. So collectively, we'll be able to identify the strategies that we can incorporate to make a difference for the entire population, not mm-hmm. just a few families at a time. Mm-hmm. But right now, we've got a number of programs that folks can take advantage of. We've got a prescription discount program called FamilyWise. Mm-hmm. We're out working with a coalition of banks. The coalition is called Bank On, Northwest Indiana, where they're offering products, to families. We've got a lot of families that are underbanked or not banked, unbanked.
Right.
And so these products help bring them into a good, banking program, so they're not relying on some of those detrimental short-term solutions, like credit
cards. The payday
cards.
Loans and the credit cards, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. And in the long run, it can have a very detrimental, impact. There are community health organizations that are available for these families to tap into. So we're working to get them connected. We're actually developing an app called Resource Roundup that's going to be launching after the first of the year that will allow families on their mobile device to put information about themselves, their profile, their community, and actually have information provided that tells them where they can access different services, whether it be, utility assistance, transportation, childcare, et cetera.
Right.
All now, in one place.
Now, what's the timetable for this? Since these things apparently are in progress here, is there a deadline that you would like, or maybe a timetable with an optimal time that you'd like to have these programs ready for people to use?
Well, yeah. That's the big challenge, because the change that we're talking about is we've got a 10-year plan. And so what we intend to do is identify short-term strategies for next year that will allow families some immediate access. We're talking about a grant, we're calling it the Hand Up Grant, that will allow ALICE families to access some help with, utilities. We've got a new program it's a Safety Net Express, where we're partnering with Catholic Charities. That's going to make assistance available. One of the things that we discovered with ALICE families is that even if they know about a system of support, they can't always access it because they're working and the hours aren't necessarily conducive to their schedule. So we're going to partner with Catholic Charities and some partner agencies like the Boys and Girls Club, as an example, in Hammond, to offer a time on a Saturday where these families can go and register to see if they're eligible for some of that assistance. So some of it isn't necessarily changing what's offered out there. It's changing when and where it's offered so that families can more easily access that support.